I hope you're having a great day, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen. All the podcasts mean a lot. This one extra special to me. Strawberry. Once upon a time, an intern at KHQT in San Jose, van driver, giving out bumper stickers and t-shirts. Now, the morning man at Cube 93.3 in Seattle. We talk humble beginnings, embarrassing moments, and some career ambitions that might surprise you beyond radio. Let's do it now. Check in. The Strawberry. Thanks for being on, Straw. Hey, say the name of your show so I make sure I get it right.
So it's the Wake Up Show on Cube 93.3.
Okay.
Actually, hold on, wait. Cube 93. Yeah, they don't say the point. Sorry, they don't say the point. So it's the Wake Up Show on Cube 93.3.
Awesome. And it's Strawberry making the move from San Francisco to the Northwest. How do you like living up there?
Love it. It's beautiful. The food is great. The people are really nice. It really hasn't rained as much as the stereotype is, but yeah, it's a blast out here.
Is there a challenge when you've been in the Bay Area forever to have a bunch of new people love you? It takes time to build the audience and build that rapport.
Yeah, and that was actually, I forgot who I was just talking to about this. That was one of the toughest things about leaving the Bay Area was kind of turning my back on, but leaving the heritage that I had set up. Like, I've been around for a long time. We've DJed all the high schools. I've been on stage at concerts. I've met a ton of people, and I've done stuff on the radio for so long. I've built up a name out there, and to be like, okay, now I'm going to start all over again from zero. Like, that's the scariest part, because I'm coming out here where I'm sure there are people who have been out here for many, many, many years, and they have that name recognition in Seattle that I had in the Bay Area. So to not really reinvent yourself, but to reintroduce yourself all over again, that's a lot of work. That's going to be a lot of work.
It's a lot, not just professionally, but personally, right? I mean, when you're in that little city and living in Santa Clara or San Jose, you have that comfort zone, your group of friends, the places you go, the gyms, the restaurants, and to be just kind of uprooted in that whole new environment. That's got to be hard.
It is. So luckily, my beautiful fiance put in most of the legwork as far as finding the good neighborhood to live in, exploring the areas. We found a bunch of new restaurants. We found, we found a bunch of shops and stuff we like. Like, we live in a great area. It's very walkable where we are. But yeah, it is. It's when we first got here, we went out. We need to find a Mexican spot. We need to find a sushi place. What's the mall? Ooh, not that mall. That mall is too grimy. We got to go to a different mall. So, you learn all the good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods and, the places that are open late to eat. Like, you have to learn that quick.
Do you have to be more hands-on and reach out to people, more personal appearances, street hits like you did back in the day?
Yes and no. With the power of social media, I could be on my couch or whatever and reach out and DM or message a ton of people who, are either in Seattle or they're listening or whatever. Like, I can touch people digitally and introduce myself a lot easier. But, I do come from that grassroots era where you do have to get out and you do have to shake hands. And I was just in the mall the other day and I walked around. I introduced myself to the people who were, selling sneakers and selling cell phones. And I went past this perfume kiosk, and they were actually playing the radio from the kiosk. So I went up, I said, "Hey, I work for that radio station. My name is Strawberry. It's nice to meet you. Here's my business card." So yeah, it's think of it, if you're not in radio, think of it as a campaign that never ends. You're introducing yourself to everybody because every day you're running for a new election. You want them to know you, you want them to love you, you want them to listen to you. So it's like an election every day, and you have to have that mentality, whether you're new to the market or you've been there 15, 20 years.
How would somebody describe your show? Hey, the Wake Up Show on Cube 93.3 is blank.
It's very mass appeal. It's high energy because we have a team of three very high energy individuals, and it's just a good time. It's a mass appeal, topical party every morning. It's on a hip hop station. But that doesn't mean we're playing like deep gangster album cuts, with all these references to guns and drugs and gangs. I mean, hip hop in general is the biggest genre right now. I mean, you know, whether it's Drake or Cardi B, I mean, Lil Wayne, he's going to host Saturday Night Live this weekend. Cardi B is on Ellen DeGeneres all the time. It's, you know, hip hop doesn't have the negative stigma that it used to. It's the biggest genre in the world. So, you know, it's real easy to host a mass appeal hip hop morning show.
Let's check out a sample. Strawberry and the Crew, The Wake Up Show. Cube 93.3.
And you have to, because that's the way us guys are.
Yes.
And I've been in that situation where any little glimmer of hope, we hold on to it. So if you give me like a not now, maybe later, you know, I won't go out now. We're like, okay, well, not today, but maybe next time.
Yes.
Like, you have to shut us down and be very clear because we're very logical. She said she didn't say no yet. She didn't
right.
say no yet.
It's part. She didn't say no. Well,
you
there's
have
a
to.
Maybe. You know
you
what I mean?
Have,
not
ladies,
insane.
You like, have to drop the hammer.
Why can't you guys just get the hint?
Well, here's like, a PSA.
Three messages tops. No response. Like, move on.
That was my number.
You know
funny.
What I mean? Like,
if I would send a text or something and I would not get a response after three, I was done. I wouldn't play myself
oh, that
out.
Was your
three
number?
Was my number. Figuring like one,
yeah.
the girl may like be busy or ignore
maybe
it.
Maybe she never saw it.
Yeah, the second one,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah,
but after the third, I'm like, all right, Straw,
clearly,
take the hint.
Yeah, she's
three was my number, then I'm out.
You.
Well, I'm going to break something to you, Straw.
Uh-huh.
And every other guy out there that's listening,
yeah.
if the girl does not reply for the first message, she's already done looked at your profile and she ain't interested. So keep it pushing.
It's true.
All right. All right. And honestly, mm-hmm. this sounds like a strictly girl problem. I don't know. None of my friends are like, oh, this girl keeps texting me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hey, I know there's some creep girls out there, too.
There
so.
Are. Not as much as guys,
this,
though.
No, no.
I guarantee this is strictly a female problem. So how do you deal with it? Jenna just shuts the hammer down on them. Lizette.
That, too.
I just kind of hope they go away.
Hopes they get the hint, which never happens. So, I mean, has this happened to you? How do you handle it? Phone lines, ladies of the Pacific Northwest.
877-933-9393.
And Amanda's got everybody in the Seattle area sliding into his DMs. Super Sam is in the commercial-free mix.
I know that you just mentioned the team you kind of hinted about, so I'll give them some love since I need them mm-hmm. to pimp the podcast. Anyway, so who are the other people that you work with? Just keeping it real, dog.
Think? I wrote their names down. Let me see if I can figure out who's who. So
okay.
it's my co-host. Her name is Lizette Love. She we stole her from a Nashville radio station, a hip hop station in Nashville that was very, very, very hip hop, very urban. But before she went to Nashville, she grew up in Salinas, so she's a Northern California girl. And then the producer and you know, in radio, they call it the third mic, but in my eyes, she's equally a co-host. Her name is Jenna. She grew up in the Bay Area. She worked in San Francisco for a number of years. Her and I actually know a lot of the same people and we have a lot of the same interests. So we clicked very quickly. So Jenna and Lizette Love are the other teammates. And then Super Sam in Seattle, he is a huge name. Not only is he the official DJ for the Seattle Seahawks, he's also the official DJ for the University of Washington Huskies. So at a football game, you know, during the pregame and halftime and stuff, he's on the turntables at the stadium rocking a crowd of like 60,000 people. So he comes in and he does an hour mix every morning at 7 o'clock. So And on top of that, Dave, he's also deeply rooted in the Boys and Girls Club in Seattle. So he's a mentor. He's a big brother. So there's a lot of community outreach that he does, and we support him on. And he's a great person to have on the team out here in Seattle.
Have you been to a Husky football game yet?
No.
Oh,
I tried to.
Awesome.
It was actually homecoming, and I was texting Super Sam. His name is Super Sam. And I'm like, hey, what do I got to do to hang out with you? And so he said, yeah, I'm in the end zone on the north side of the field. And I said, no, I mean, like, can you get me in?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I already gave my tickets away. So I haven't been to a Huskies game yet. I'm trying to get an invite from him. But I heard they are crazy.
Yeah, you mentioned 60. It's about 75,000, and people take their boats, you know, across whatever the body of water is there up to the stadium.
Yeah.
And it's a great atmosphere for football. You'll love it, man.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I visited Seattle a number of times, and you just get the vibe. And it was actually a Sunday. It was during NFL season, and the Seahawks were playing. And the entire weekend, like the very, very first time I ever came out here, everybody was wearing a Seahawks jersey, whether it was the Uber driver, the Starbucks barista, the person at the mall, like, you know, or just like a pedestrian. Like, the city gets around their teams so much, and you know there's that energy and that pride out here. So yeah, same thing. They call it Purple Saturdays out here. Everybody wears purple for the Washington Huskies, and then, you know, Blue Friday for the Seahawks. It's they love their teams out here.
Is it different than the Bay Area then? Do you feel like it's more intense, more passionate?
It is. And the thing is with the Bay Area is there's two football teams. There's two baseball teams. So you kind of have a division. You'll have people wearing Niners gear. You'll have people wearing Raiders gear, Giants or A's. But out here, it's you are a Seahawks fan. You are a Mariners fan. The only real division is with college football. It's either UW, who are local, the Huskies are local, or
Washington State,
which is like 2-3 hours away. But they only have one team. They have one college team. They have one major football team. They have one baseball team. So everybody is on the bandwagon.
How long do you think, Straw, it'll take you to have like real penetration where ratings matter? Like, hey, we're doing well with our show by such and such.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew you were going to ask me about penetration, Dave. So let me...
I can always edit. Well, that was actually coming up with embarrassing moments in your career. I'm going down my notes.
You know what, Cube, I'm lucky because this is a very heritage radio station. So I'm lucky in that regards. But I mean, there's so many, you know, let's call it distractions. There's so many distractions out there nowadays. There's Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, Tidal, YouTube. There's people who have just a bunch of songs on their phone. So radio is harder to break through to somebody and catch their attention nowadays. So, you know, I have to fight through all that other distraction and competition. So I would say, you know, I'm really not going to pay attention to the ratings for the first 6, 9, maybe 12 months. But I think that as a team, we've gelled really quickly, and we have a lot of early momentum that it's just, we keep doing a good show and people will find out about it. If you build it, they will come type of stuff.
Yeah. The PD's got to be patient. You have to have a management that supports you.
Yeah.
I was thinking of my first gig in San Jose. It was a year and the ratings weren't there. And the general manager, I'll leave his name out, dirtbag. and he wanted to fire me and put on a part-timer and give him the full-time gig. And that part-timer had actually stayed in my house on the weekends. He would drive in from Santa Rosa and crash at my place. So he didn't do it. In fact, he quit because of this. He had so much integrity. And then, so anyway, as karma would make its return, that general manager got blown out. And after that, the next book came out as number one in the market. So it takes time.
Of course.
Not of course, but, you know, it takes time to make it work. It's not overnight. It's not 6 months. And in my case, it took a year.
Hmm. Yeah, it's gonna take time. There's a lot of distractions out there, a lot of competition. But you know, like I said, we do a good show. We're very proud of our show, and we have great music to back us up. So I think people will catch on. Plus, I'm incredibly likable. So there's that, right?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I was answering questions on Instagram. I asked a question for Strawberry, and one of them was, "How is he so good looking?" And then I
And
that was actually you.
Well, did you want to ask me that question? Because I think I may have an answer.
I'm sure you do have an answer. Hey, is it different, Straw? Is it different? Because you started off back in the mid 90s. You're a van driver, KHQT, Hot 97.7. Uh-huh. And at that time, there was a night jock named Mojo. How did you get hooked up with him? How did you even get in the business as a kid? Probably 18, 19 years old.
Yeah. And honestly, being a van driver, that was a promotion. I actually started as the, you know, hey, do you want to hear a song? Call up. Strawberry's going to take your requests. You know, I was that guy. I was the, hey, I'm hungry, go get me Taco Bell guy. But I was listening to the radio station. I was senior in high school. I was listening to Hot 97.7. And this guy came on the radio and he goes, I just got hired. I'm the new DJ. This is my second night on the radio. they haven't fired me yet, so I'm throwing a party. I'm going to throw a party in the studio. Anybody who wants to come on down, come on down. And me being like a 17-year-old, 18-year-old guy, I'm like, oh, there's going to be chicks. So I called up my buddy. We got dressed up thinking we were going to meet all these hot chicks. And so we drove down to the radio station in industrial downtown San Jose. And we drove into this parking lot. It was like a business center. And a security guard is like, oh, you're here for the radio station? Yeah, going up to the second floor. So we went in there, and I was a huge radio nerd anyway. I was involved in the high school radio station program. And so we go in, and I got to see what a real radio station looked like and sounded like. And I got to be behind the curtain for a little bit. And in radio stations, when people call in to make requests or dedications or whatever, they're on a big speakerphone. And I didn't know that. And so I'm in the back of the studio because he let us all watch him work. And when people would call in, I was making smart comments to them or jokes or whatever. And he goes, hey, you're kind of funny. Stand by the microphone. And if you want to make a joke or if you want to make a smart aleck remark, go ahead and do it. So I did a couple times. And then the night went on. It's getting close to midnight. And we're like, hey man, we're going to take off. Me and my buddy are going to take off because there's only like three more people left at this quote unquote party. And he goes, look, I'm off the radio in 15 minutes. If you want to hang, I'll take you out to Denny's. Like, it was cool to hang out. It was cool to meet you guys. So we're like, we ain't got nothing else to do. Let's go to Denny's with this guy. So we go to Denny's and he says, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I do radio at my high school. Radio is always a dream. I want to go to college and do radio, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know what? I don't know anybody in San Jose and I need someone to answer my phones every night. It's hard work, but can you be here every night, you know, to write down requests and to, you know, get my music ready, et cetera. And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. And he goes, okay.
Now, that's free, right? No money, right? No money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And here's the cold-blooded part. This is back when I had a pager. So the next day he paged me and I called him back. He goes, hey, I talked to my boss. You're okay to come in and work for me for free, but because you're 18 and you can sign like liability waivers. But since your friend isn't, your friend's 17, you have to call him and you have to tell him he can't come. And at the time, it was a really, really good friend of mine. So I had to call him and said, hey, man, Mojo said that you can't come to the radio station, but he wants me to because, you know, you're not 18. You can't be there. You know, you get internship credit. Like, there's a whole reason. But basically, he had me tell my friend, yo, you can't come, but he wants me there. And to be honest, dude, that was like one of the last times I ever talked to him. Like, we were really good friends.
That was a deal breaker?
It put me in such a – well, no, it put me in a bad position. And it he held an animosity towards me and obviously towards Mojo that he, you know, he either never forgave me or he resented me or something. But he, you know, he kind of, you know, held a grudge. And I really didn't talk to him ever since then. It was really sad looking back because he and I were really tight. But yeah, so long story short, I just showed up to a party one night and the guy said, hey, I need you to come back every night and answer phones for me and write down requests and dedications and go get me Taco Bell.
You couldn't.
I'm like, all right, cool.
Hey, Straw, you wouldn't have some listener to show up to your show. Hey, let's just hang out afterward. I mean, the culture, the world is just totally different now. You could never do that.
No. And once I kind of, you know, put a couple years in and I had my own weekend show, Friday night, Saturday night after the club, we were, let's call it dumb enough to go on the radio and say, hey, anybody leaving the club, come on down to the radio station right now. And we used to have people in the station that we didn't know and they were running up and down the hallways. So yeah, that stuff wouldn't fly today, much less you know, telling a listener to come in and hire them on the spot. No way.
You do anything crazy on the air at that time that you could admit now?
Oh, that I could admit now.
Yeah, because it's statute of limitations. You're cool.
Yes, I did crazy stuff on the air. Nothing that I could probably admit right now.
Why not?
Because my fiance is right next to me, for one.
So you really doesn't know that you had sex on the air?
Yeah, no, she doesn't know that. She doesn't know that.
Okay, shh.
No. But thanks for asking.
Okay.
It was a wild and free time.
Yeah.
It was a good time. It still is, but it's less of a frat house and more of like a guy's weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's less of a frat house and more of like a boys trip to L.A. or San Diego.
Were you at my bachelor party there?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so that kind of stuff we can never do again, right?
No, you can't. You can't throw a bachelor party not only in the studio but on the radio. In the studio, in the afternoon. That was when you were doing afternoons, right? Or was that nights?
That was afternoons.
Yeah.
In fact, you may have been on the board. You've been on the board when the strippers were in the room.
Yes. Yes. I was there. Yes, absolutely.
Hey, when you're growing up, I think I want to get off that subject.
Good. That's why I stopped myself.
Thank you. Hey, when you're growing up as a radio nerd, you know, who were you listening to? Because I'm thinking of the night jocks at that time. There was like Super Snake and Evan Lyle Cameo. Who did you think, man, it'd be cool to be that dude?
I do remember Super Snake. JoJo was a big one. Hold on, there's another one. Chewy, of course, Chewy Gomez.
Yeah.
In the afternoons, Rick Chase. Rick Chase was a legend at KMEL in the afternoons. And then, you know, whatever morning show was on, it was like, you know, Kelly and Klein. It was like the Breakfast Zoo. It was Man Cow. So yeah, I was into all that stuff. And it was really cool is, you know, there was a lot of people on that list that not only did I listen to as a kid and I became fans of, I eventually became coworkers with, or at least colleagues of. Like, I have Chewy Gomez's phone number. So, you know, I can reach out to Chewy Gomez anytime I want. Friends and anytime I want. Super Snake. You have JoJo who runs LA. He's like the Mount Rushmore of nighttime DJs. I grew up listening to him. I was lucky enough to work with him. And I can reach out to him anytime I want. He and I are real tight. So it's just, I'm very lucky to be someone who went from a fan to a friend. It's really cool.
What about the transition from nights? Because you did nights forever. You know, why is this the time for you to make that switch to mornings? I think it is. I really do think it's the right thing at the right time, your age, everything else, to make that move. But why for you? Why do you think this is the time to do it?
It's a great opportunity for me to get more responsibility and more visibility. You know, the morning show is kind of like the quarterback of the team. You know, you lead the show, you lead the market. I am the ambassador of Seattle for my radio station. You know, you're the head of the, you know, you're the head of the station. And so I love that responsibility. I welcome it. I have a million ideas that I want to do that when I was doing the nights, maybe it was a conversation or a topic or a stunt or a video for social media that because of the time I was on, it wouldn't allow me to do it. Like, you know, there's different, like, I don't want to say adult topics, but there's more like, you know, grown up topics I want to get into and discuss on the radio. And I wanted a bigger spotlight. I wanted to be given more responsibility. And this was a very nice change and a very great opportunity that I think it was perfect timing for me in my career. Like, I did mornings before that was, you know, a little bit successful, but I have a really strong team, with me that I think I'll do even better this time around.
Did nights prep you for this at all?
Yeah, because with nights especially, I started doing nights long before a lot of these, let's just say, rules and codes of conduct came into place. So it was kind of, when I started doing nights, it was kind of like, hey, whatever you want to do, just do it. Whatever you want to say, just say it. Like, go crazy. There's no rules, no limits. So with that, tamed down a little bit, but with that mentality of, hey, get creative. You think of something funny, you think something will make people listen, do it. You know, like, get creative, just run wild, obviously within reason. But yeah, I think nights built me up for this. And a night show is very active also. You're out at high schools all the time. You're out at marches and fundraisers and you're out, you know, meeting the people all the time. Then you're going on the radio. So that extra work outside the studio is definitely what we're doing here in Seattle also. We do our studio show, but then we hit the streets and we meet people.
I got to keep you humble because you're starting to blow up.
Thanks. Please do.
Hey,
please
humble me. Go on old school because I'll talk to you about some of the things that you did in your life. So you, me, were, you know, basically an intern and you're driving and you're giving out T-shirts and you're meeting girls.
This looks weird.
And so here's Strawberry back in the day, probably about 1995. Okay. And the beginning of his career, no one would ever think that he'd actually become something when you hear some, when you have a moment like this.
The South Bay is hot. 97.7. This is Dr. Dave, your radio slave.
Well, let me see what he wants. Strawberry, you are on live right now, so watch your mouth.
What?
You're on live right now. Watch your mouth. What do you want?
I'm alive. Hi, South Bay. This is Strawberry. How you doing?
Well, what can I do for you?
You want me to do a little call-in? I got free pizza.
Yeah, I guess we are on the radio, Strawberry, so watch your mouth.
Oh, okay. Well, what's up? It's Strawberry on the corner of McKee and Jackson. Am I really on the air? Turn on the radio, man.
You are, sir.
Oh, okay, damn. Okay, what's up? It's Strawberry and Hot Band 3 live on the air, I guess. We are in front of Round Table Pizza on the corner of Jackson and McKee. Now, we're still honoring the San Jose Sharks. So, we're swimming with the Sharks here at Jackson and McKee Round Table. The first 9 people that bum rushes us in a bathing suit, I'm going to hook you up with Round Table Pizza, the corner of Jackson and McKee, on the air live without knowing it's Strawberry. On the South Bay side, 97.7.
Then with the jam, I want the listeners.
Oh my God, are you serious? That guy is going to be successful.
I don't know what's worse, my high voice or your nickname, Dr. Dave the Radio Slave. I don't know what was worse.
I didn't make that up.
You know what? I remember, and I know people are real skeptical with radio, and oh, things are set up, things are fake. I remember that night so well because it was Jackson and McKee, East San Jose. There's a round table. And I literally, I pulled the van into the parking lot. I went inside. I said, hey, I'm Strawberry from Hot 97.7. If I go on the radio and tell people to come down here, can you give us some free pizza? And obviously, I was thinking selfishly, like, I want a few slices.
Yes.
And maybe I'll give some to listeners. So they go, yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I call you on the hotline while I'm still in the restaurant. And you would never, ever answer the phone on live on the radio. You wouldn't do that. So you go, hey, Strawberry, you're live on the radio. I'm like, okay, whatever, Dave. And as I'm talking to you, I don't believe you. And I said, hey, turn on the radio. And with that, the other guy in the van opened the door. And I hear your voice booming out of the van into the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, I just went on the radio and said, hey, I have free pizza. Yeah. Should I do a call-in?
Oh, my God. No, it's great. I mean, I think that era was a little wilder. Like, you could just do that. But certainly caught you with your pants down. Now, at that time, you're making no money. So was it really like, hey, let's go to Una Ma's and get some free food out of it for T-shirts and stickers? And
yeah. Yeah, yeah. We would go out and we would like go into a round table or Una Mas or even like go to like Oak Ridge Mall. And if there was a Jamba Juice or something like that, we'd be like, hey man, if we give you some shirts, can you give us some burgers or something like that? Or normally they'd be cool and we'd have a way to kind of like finesse some free food out of them. But yeah, normally when we would, and again, this is back in the day, I'm sure they don't do it now, but normally when we would drive around in the van, we would go to corners or parking lots where we knew we could get free food because, oh my God, the radio station is here. So yeah, a lot of times it was whatever you could get for free, you know, drive out there and get it.
That was one of the things that made that job appealing, right? Since you're making no money, hey, meeting girls, getting free food, right? And go to the clubs for free.
That's the fourth time you've mentioned the fact that I was making no money. Like, I'm just keeping track. That was like four times in a row right there. Just
well, no, but yeah, no. Hey, it shows how much you love the craft, right? Because know 16 or 7 shows would do the radio for no money. But you loved the business. Yeah, loved the energy. You got to go to clubs, promotions, everything for no money.
It was and still is the greatest. And yeah, I did love it. I still do. And it was one of those things where you either do love it and you'll stay in it, or you just kind of like it. And then it gets old real quick. Like I love it. And I loved all the hard work and the drive around in the vans and the meet people and the, you know, I love it. I love it. And yeah, that the free food was a cool little bonus, but just the fact that I was on the radio in my hometown where I grew up, like, and I've always wanted to be on the radio. Like, it was just huge. It was humongous for me. And it goes back. I mean, it's still as cool because, with Instagram now, somebody could be in their car and shoot a quick little video of them driving, listening to you on the radio. So I hear my voice on someone's Instagram video. Or I'll go somewhere and I'll hear somebody say, oh, I heard you talk about, you know, The Haunting of Hill House. You know, I started watching it also because you did. So when you meet people that did listen, that heard you say something and they remembered it and they can say it back to you, like, that's really cool. And again, it's probably even cooler because there's so much distraction out there. There's so much competition. Like I said, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. There's so much competition that when they do choose me instead of everything else, like, it's that much cooler that, wow, you're listening and you're interacting with me. And I'm not just in the background. Like, you reach out and you're excited that I'm here or, you know, tweeting you or whatever. It's great.
And for social media, I noticed that you did a lot more Instagram Live than Facebook Live, right? Is that still the case?
Yeah, still the case. I have a grudge against Facebook personally. It's just Instagram's easier for me to navigate. The majority of my listeners are on Instagram. But I love the fact that I can do a quick, like, live video and interact with people. Like I remember all the people I was a fan of, whether they were actors or, you know, baseball players or movie stars, whatever, that my head would explode if I knew that I could interact with them. Like, if I could send them a tweet and they would see it, if they could do a live video and then they would see me comment and shout my name out, like, my head would explode. So I love being able to do that now.
Well, you do get a chance to meet some of the recording artists, right? So give me some celebrity crushes and why.
I'll start with, well, I had one of my early ones was Jocelyn Enriquez.
Oh, totally.
I know she's a good friend of yours. We'll talk about her in a bit. Jessica Alba, humongous crush on her, long lasting crush on her. Ariana Grande, Carrie Underwood, even though she's a country singer, we were doing some broadcast in Vegas and I made sure that we interviewed her just so that I could meet her, even though there's no way I'm going to play a country artist interview on my radio station at the time. I just wanted to meet her. So I had a huge crush on her too. Yeah. those are my top three.
Did anybody let you down after you met them? Like, they weren't that cool.
Not as far as them. As far as like rappers there, I had a couple, how do I say it? Maybe not the best interactions. Oh, wait, you know what? Selena Gomez kind of let me down a little bit. Granted, I met her the day after a long night in Vegas. She was performing in Vegas, and then she was in, like, San Jose the next day. So she must have been jet-lagged. We didn't have the greatest interaction. It was just kind of formulaic, like a very yes-no type of interview. As far as rappers, when I first met Master P, he kind of had a weird, funky attitude. Yeah, but I mean, for the most part, people are pretty cool because they know that, you know, if they are otherwise, it's going to damage their reputation, their career, and most importantly, their sales. So everyone's on their best behavior nowadays.
Sure. So Selena Gomez, she certainly took a hit after dogging you then, right? I mean, her career certainly hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was, you know, I'm sure if she could take that back, if she could take that moment back,
sure,
she would. So it's you know, you only live once, though.
Straw, we were talking embarrassing moments. So I embarrassed you with you, the 1995 thing. What about, you know, since then, like, man, I wish I could take that back. I wish I didn't say that or do that on the air.
Oh, okay. I know I've messed up a couple times, but probably the worst, one of those things that even years later, it still kind of like gives you shudders. And I apologized to him just a couple years ago, but JoJo. So when I was an intern for JoJo, like we're talking about, he was on the radio in San Francisco. He was famous for his Halloween broadcast. He would go to like a spooky place or a haunted mansion or whatever. He would have a seance and stuff like this. And so he was doing this live broadcast from some haunted location in the Bay Area. And at a certain point, when he was out on location and I was back in the radio station, like running the boards, as it's called, when he said like there was a certain keyword, I was supposed to hit this pre-produced sound effect segment of him essentially like getting abducted by a ghost or something. I forget what it was about. But it was this thing that he had worked weeks on, and it was this pre-produced, you know, element that I was supposed to hit. And it was, it plays on the radio and everybody freaks out thinking JoJo just got attacked or abducted by a ghost. So it played, and then I went into commercials, and then he called me in the studio. And I, when I picked up the phone, somehow our conversation started going out over the radio, and I was like, yeah, hey, JoJo, it sounded really good. I'm sure everybody believes it. Oh, yeah. So he and I are talking about how good we just faked everybody out. Meanwhile, I hear somebody running down the hallway, and the studio door bursts open, and it's my boss. And he's like, you're on the air. You're on the air. And he's giving me like the cut signal. And I'm like, hold on, JoJo. I think we're on the air. What? We're on the air? And so my boss runs over to me, and there was some switch that I didn't know was on, was flipped on. So he reached over and flipped the switch off. And in like 30 seconds, I blew 2 weeks of preparation and a 4-hour broadcast. I mean, just like in 30 seconds. And I feel I've apologized to him 5, 10, 15 years later, and it still irks me.
He's one of the nicest guys in the business. Now, what did he say to you after you screwed up that thing?
Well, he hasn't talked to me since. No, he didn't say much. He didn't say much. It was a weekend, so I think he shook it off by Monday. Knowing him, he probably didn't sit with it too long. I think he probably forgot about it by now, but it still sits with me. But he was, I mean, he's a pro. He's a great guy. And I literally ruined his whole broadcast.
Yeah, that's a major talent. And he's been doing nights for how long now?
I mean,
30 years?
Was it 30? I used to listen to him as a kid. So it's got to be close to that. And like I said earlier, just the Mount Rushmore of not just jocks, but nighttime jocks. He's the Mount Rushmore. I think he has been doing it for 30 years.
Well, because he was doing Dallas before he came to KSOL. Then that became Wild 107, then 94.9. And you're talking going back into early mid-90s. So that's just in the Bay Area and then to L.A. So just that period of time is at least 27 years of doing nights. Mm-hmm.
At least. Yeah, he's one of the greatest.
Could you have done nights forever, Straw? Or would you say, gosh, you know what? I don't want to hear someone say, I like this guy, but I don't know if he likes me.
It's funny because in the amount of time I've done nights, I've seen a change in how the nighttime listeners are. So with the onset of, I mean, everybody makes fun of like millennials and they're the butt of all the jokes and they're the you know, scapegoats for everything. But with the onset of such social media interaction and digital and texting and everything, you really see how that generation that grew up without any like face-to-face interaction or communication skills, you really see how odd it is when they interact with the person, or if you pick up the phone, they get nervous. It's like, you know, because like they're not used to talking to people. So the last couple of years, you really could see the deficit in people's communication skills. However, they are the most appreciative if you do something like play a world premiere of a Taylor Swift song or play the new Demi Lovato song 3 times in a row, back to back to back, or a new boy band is coming in tour and you're giving out tickets. Like, that audience is the most appreciative and they do have the most fun. You know, you go DJ to high schools and stuff like that. But it's a lot of work and it is very draining. So I think I stopped doing nights at a good time for me to stop doing nights where I didn't leave with a bad taste in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think if I would have stayed doing nights a couple more years, I would have been more of a grumpy guy than I am now. Like, I'm having the best time doing this show. And I think it's because I stopped doing nights at the point that I did.
What's next on your to-do list professionally?
I want the show to get picked up in other markets. I want to do a syndication. And then I want to get back to some sort of TV thing. Like in the Bay Area, I did a weekly spot on a high school sports show where I would interview like the team of the week. And that was a blast because I was a high school athlete. So to be able to give these athletes TV time, that was huge for me. And it's great exposure for me. So I did that, the sports show once a week. And then there was a time that I was hosting like a video, like a music video show for a while. So there's a couple avenues in TV that I want to explore. But that on top of a syndication deal, like those are my two goals right now.
Would you ultimately want to be like a Carson Daly and just kind of make that kind of segue with a music TV kind of combo career?
Yes. Yeah. And I really like the show he does late at night. It's called Last Call. I think he's one of the most underrated interviewers. The way he does his interviews, it's very conversational. It's very, you know, just kind of a hangout versus question, answer, question, answer, yeah. question, answer. Like, I think he's really, really smooth and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. But I do want to kind of make that leap and straddle the two mediums the way Carson does. He's someone I do look up to, yeah.
Do you think about that when you do your own interviews? Because the best interview, which I think this one's good, but it's just a conversation, right? It's not Q&A. It's two people talking and then those other people are eavesdropping on our conversation.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, and going back to, you know, I'm kind of a radio nerd, that's the stuff I listen to. If I listen to a Carson Daly or a Howard Stern or a Seacrest or a this guy named Rover who does a morning show out of somewhere in Ohio, Cincinnati, or Cleveland, I noticed that good interviews are very just conversational and the guest relaxes more, reveals more, and seems to have a better time. So yeah, when I do interviews, that's in the back of my mind, like, how can I just make this a hangout versus making it an interview? Because nobody wants to be interviewed. They just want to hang out and talk. So that is always in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and then the artist or the interviewee will appreciate you down the line more. You know, give you props, and you can be more of a friend than just some dude that asked a bunch of questions.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you figure they do the same question and answer. They tell the same stories. They, you know, they hear everything, you know, everywhere they go, every city they go, they have three or four different interviews to do, plus phone interviews, plus, you know, sit down with, you know, Jimmy Fallon or something like that. And they hear the same questions. And I know they're tired of it. They go into a robotic answer mode and you can kind of pick it up when they're not having fun. So my main thing is, well, how do I make this fun for them? Like, how do I make them like me and like being here? So it's very tough, but when I hear good interviewers do good interviews, I pay attention.
Hey, a lot of folks are listening to this podcast that have Bay Area roots. Your peeps from San Jose go back to the days when you were making no money. That's number six. and interning and driving vans and having me throw you out of the studio. Hey, what does it mean to you to represent the area? And what would you have to say to all your friends that supported you along the way back when you were just some kid hanging out with Mojo and partying in the studio and getting free food?
It means the most because, like, I'm a skinny white redhead. Like, I wasn't the coolest looking guy. Like, if you would pick someone out of a lineup, like, who you wanted to party with. But radio not only brought me out of my shell, like, I was a real shy person. It really brought me out of my shell. And I met just such a wide range of people and cultures and ethnicities and ages, and they all accepted me. And the fact that they supported me afterwards, and, you know, I listened to that clip you played earlier when I was giving out free pizza. Like, my voice was super high. And I was probably like 105 pounds back then, wearing like double extra large baggy clothes. So the fact that they did support me means the world, especially, like, that was probably the worst I ever sounded or looked.
You're right.
And then there's just, yeah, absolutely. you didn't have to co-sign, but you did.
No. I just want to make the guests feel good and agree.
Yeah. Well, okay. And so just the fact that now, you know, everywhere, you know. And then there was that huge resurgence of Bay Area pride, whether it was for our sports teams or, you know, people like E40 and Too Short, and like people just really, really have pride in the Bay Area. You can see it now when you go out of the Bay Area, because we have our own, you know, language and slang and dance moves and stuff like that. So when you're out somewhere and you connect with somebody from the Bay Area, there's a real genuine link. Like, you two are strangers, but you have that bond. And so out here in Seattle, you know, I'm still carrying on, and I do what I do for the Bay Area. And, you know, I'm obviously trying to make them as proud of me as they can be, because I'm, you know, I'm on a big stage. And if I succeed, it's a big success. If I fail, it's a big failure. So I'm really trying to do my best for them.
You're representing with pride. You're doing a great job, Strom. Proud of you. What would you be doing? What would you be doing if you weren't doing this?
You know what? I've been fired once or twice, and that thought crossed my mind. If I wasn't doing radio, I really want to do. Well, my fiance and I have some. Can I actually tell him about the? Can I tell him about the?
Yes.
Well, here, where's Dave?
Hey, you really? What's up?
The studio. Okay. So we have a goal to open a holistic health studio, you know, yoga and meditation and stuff like that. So we want to do that. But if I didn't have radio in my life, I would want to open up like a dog park. I want to do a dog park that has a dog. It sounds lame. I know this sounds lame. No. I want to open up a dog park that has like, you can board and leave your dog there, with a groomer inside, and like a pet friendly bakery, like a one-stop shop for dog parks. I would like to do that and then eventually franchise it. I know it sounds so random, but I really want to do that in addition to the, holistic health center that we want to open.
Do you have a dog?
I did. I had two boxers that passed away a couple years ago, but I've always loved dogs. I've always loved animals. And, you know, I actually drew up one day. I drew up blueprints of what I wanted my dog park to look like. So, yeah, man, if I win the lottery, watch out. I'm buying a warehouse, and I'm going to put a dog park in there.
You going to get a dog in Seattle?
We're thinking about it. Seattle is a very dog-friendly city. There's dogs everywhere. We live in a dog-friendly apartment. I think boxers are the perfect size. They're the perfect personality. They have a lot of energy. Yureli, my fiance, likes something a little smaller, maybe like a French bulldog, something like that. So I think in the near future, we will get another dog.
How'd you meet her? Because you totally outkicked your coverage with her. She's awesome. How did you hook up with her?
I outkicked my coverage. What's that?
She's too good for you. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant. I thought that's what you meant.
You're over your head.
Absolutely. It's funny because, thank you. I grew up in the Bay Area. She grew up in the Sacramento area. So without knowing each other, we grew up about 2 hours apart. Back in 07 or 08, I went to Phoenix to do radio for 2 years. And at one point, my boss recommended that I call her to see if I had a place on the show for her. And so he gave me her number, and I said, oh, there's somebody in Phoenix with a Bay Area phone number. And he goes, oh yeah, yeah. She's originally from the Bay Area. She moved to Phoenix like 2 years ago. Call her up. So I called her up. We met a couple times. We interviewed. It didn't work out at the radio station, but we started hanging out and we started dating. And as we hung out, we realized how many people we knew. Like, oh, you know this person? I know this person. You worked for this person? I'm friends with that person. So we didn't meet until we were all the way over in Phoenix, Arizona, despite the fact that we kind of grew up 2 hours apart from each other. And then when I moved back to San Francisco to do radio, coincidentally enough, her job transferred her to San Francisco like 2 or 3 months later. So it was just, I don't know what you want to call it.
It's meant to happen. Just
yeah,
destiny.
Absolutely meant to happen.
No, she's fantastic. Absolutely. I'm a huge Yureli fan. When are you getting married?
Well, we're going to find out. We started, when we first got engaged, we hit the ground pretty hard looking at all these wedding venues. realize that we have a lot of friends and family. And so we started scaling. We started changing the venues we were looking for, and the prices were a little outrageous for the areas we were looking at. Yeah, so we're looking at other venues and stuff that can handle such a big wedding party and family size. So we took a pause because, you know, we had to pack everything up and move to Seattle. So we kind of put the pause on the wedding planning for a second, but we're ready to get back to it.
Now you've done it the right way. You've had a great career. You got a great girlfriend, fiance. I'm super proud of you, man. I'm serious. This is awesome for me to have you on this podcast.
Well, this is great. And do you always do the podcast this way, or do you normally wear pants? Because I'm just wondering, like, am I the only one?
You're the only one. You're the only one that gets it like this.
Okay, good.
Go on now.
I feel special.
No, but the show is.
I don't know if you. Well, I want to pimp the show, but I don't want to end the podcast without telling your listeners how instrumental you were to my career, because we talked about Mojo, but he only lasted about 2 or 3 months at the radio station. Afterwards, you replaced him, and I was your intern, and you literally showed me everything. You showed me how to run the boards. You showed me how to record stuff, how to edit stuff, how to be on the radio from the streets, what to do, you know, in the studio. So, I mean, sure, he got me in the door, and I'll always thank him for that, but the amount of stuff I learned from you directly and watching you work, I mean, I wouldn't be here if you didn't give me that time and that education. So, I mean, yeah, I know. I don't want people not to think that you weren't an instrumental part of my career.
Bless your heart. Actually, I'm tearing up a little bit. It means a lot. I'm very grateful, Strawberry. I mean, you recovered nicely from the pants down to getting me to cry. So
that's awesome. That was a roller coaster right there, wasn't it?
It was, right? The full gamut of emotions. Hey, so give me the hours of the show. Let's pimp it.
6 to 10 every morning, Cube 93.3. And, of course, since it's an iHeartRadio station, you can listen anywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Awesome. And give me your social media information so we can pass that out.
Easy. Everything is Strawberry Radio. Twitter, Instagram, Snap. It's all Strawberry Radio.
Super proud of you, man. Kiss that girl for me.
I will, Dave. Thank you.
From the Wake Up Show on Cube 93.3 in Seattle, that is Strawberry. The executive producer of the podcast is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. We also appreciate your positive comments and feedback. I'm Dave Lewis. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.